Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. You know, worship, especially at this time of year, is a good time to refocus, to push aside everything else, all of the distractions, all of the excitement and worries and fears and anxieties and joys that vie for our attention 24 hours a day. The work Christmas party that you need to bring a snack for. The holiday get-together that you need to clean up before. The travel plans that you need to finalize. The presents you still haven't wrapped, or perhaps you haven't even bought. The cards you need to send out or write. The Christmas lights that should be working, but for some reason they just won't turn on. So for this hour of worship, turn your attention to God as best you can. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God, whose way John the Baptist prepared, who comes to bring forgiveness of sins and eternal life for people who are far too distracted by the things of this life, who stirs our hearts to action as we pray in our collect for the second Sunday of Advent. And as we continue to learn about our collects and our prayers, I invite you to turn with me to the beginning of the worship bulletin, and we will speak together again our collect of the day. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Stir up our hearts. So what happens when you stir up a pot of soup or a pot of hot chocolate? Everything becomes agitated and it starts moving around. What happens when you don't stir? Things start to stick and burn. Yes, I do actually know at least a couple things about cooking. And the same thing is true for us, which is what we pray for in our collect for today. When our hearts are not stirred up by God's grace, by God's action during this time of year, we can lose sight of what really matters. Instead of anticipating the coming of our Messiah, we become bogged down in the gift-giving and shopping and holiday decorating. The anticipation is all for this worldly things, not for the things that eternally matter. When instead of gathering together to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, we focus our attention on holiday party gatherings that distract from the reason for the season. Instead of resting in the joy and hope of the newborn Messiah, we run around being distracted by so many other things. Things that are in themselves good and pleasing and joyful, but can distract and draw our attention away from God. And so we pray then that God will stir up our hearts to keep us focused on what is truly important, even as the other things happen as well. This is something that can only come from God. God is the one who has to work on us. God is the one who works on and in our hearts through his Holy Spirit to conform us to himself, to keep our focus, our eyes fixed on him. A good example comes in the Gospel of Matthew, when Martha is preparing for the meal while Jesus is visiting her and her sister and her brother. Martha is running around getting everything ready for the meal while Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha's response is, "Why isn't she helping?" Jesus' response is, "Why are you so distracted by other things that you miss the one thing that is needed?" And so, how does God stir up our hearts to keep us focused on him? He does this through his means of grace. By his word, he works on us and in us to impel us to action, changing and forming our thoughts and our desires, conforming them to be more like his thoughts and desires, the ones that are pleasing to him. By our baptism, the Holy Spirit working within us in ways that we don't always see or hear or recognize or understand, working in us to change us to become more godly, more God-pleasing in our thoughts and our actions. By his supper, when he feeds and strengthens us for the things that lie ahead, for the life in this world. Or as we see as Jesus speaks with his followers by his word, after his resurrection, the two on the road to Emmaus look at each other and say, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures that stir us up, stir our hearts to action, to be conformed to him?" But this is also something that God does not just through his word and sacraments, but also through those around us, that he uses us to stir one another up to love and to good works, that as God's people, we can encourage one another. We can refocus together on what is important, on the things of eternal life rather than the things of this life, and how we can serve God with our lives. Stirred up in our hearts by God's grace, we pray that he will use us to make ready the way of his only begotten Son. Now, we don't often pray for God to use us to carry out his will, but why is that? Why don't we pray more for God to find ways to use us in his mission? I think sometimes it's because our focus, the focus of our prayers, can become too narrow, that we worry too much about our own needs, worry about our own desires, and miss out on the bigger picture of the world and the people and the church around us. It's not just my needs that are important to me. It's also how my strengths can build up others and make up for others in their needs. Although perhaps we're also scared of what God's response might be, that he might answer with a yes, that he does have a way for us to use the gifts that he has given us to make ready the way of his only begotten Son for those around us. But that is what we pray for this week, that God will use us in his mission. Our gospel reading from Mark chapter 1 shows how God used John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, to make ready the way of Jesus. And in fact, John was born for this exact purpose, as we see in Luke chapter 1 with John's conception and birth. His father was promised that his son would turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. This is exactly what John does, even in the womb, when Jesus comes to him in the womb of his own mother Mary, that John recognizes the voice of Mary, leaps in the womb, recognizing the presence of his Messiah, even unborn. This is what Zechariah foretold in his song after John's birth, when he says, "You, my child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High, to go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins." From birth, this is exactly what John was destined, was called to do. And it's what we see in our gospel reading from Mark chapter 1, that he is the messenger foretold by Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight," declaring repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John declares the Messiah with his words. He calls to repentance those who come to him, calls them to repentance and baptism. He proclaims that after me comes one who is before me, he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Jesus is coming. John points out that very fact in John chapter 1 when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, that's not exactly what we're called to do, to go out into the wilderness to proclaim a baptism of repentance and repentance for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to eat locusts and wild honey and to wear camel's hair. Although if you want to, I don't think I'd stop you. But we aren't called to do all of those things necessarily, but we are, however, called to share this good news, the same good news as John proclaimed, with those around us, those who need to hear this. We prepare by, as John proclaimed, confessing and repenting our own sins, remembering that we are baptized with God's Spirit in and under the water, that God has called us as his beloved children. Now, not everyone knows what Jesus came for. The survey results regarding biblical literacy in America are frankly terrifying. People don't know the basics of the Christian faith. The people around you, even in a somewhat Christian society like America, people don't know who Jesus is. What they do know comes overwhelmingly from popular culture that mischaracterizes what we believe about what the Bible teaches about things like sin and forgiveness. And so the people around us, even our own neighbors, need to hear this message. And where do they hear it from but from us? The way that we make ready the way of God's only begotten Son is by telling those around us, as John did. But we do not do this on our own. We are only able to do any of this. We are only able to serve God in any way because of God's work within us. By his coming, we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, is what we pray for. We pray that he would use us, that we would serve him. We acknowledge that this isn't something we can do of our own volition or of our own holiness. By ourselves, we aren't holy enough. We aren't good enough. We aren't able to serve God by ourselves. Whatever we might offer apart from God's work in us is nothing but filthy rags. And so he needs to purify us as he does in baptism, purifying us as he is pure, taking what is weak and broken in this world, taking us and turning us to his holy purposes. Jesus came for this very purpose, to purify us by his blood, to make us fit to serve God with pure minds. Our sins separate us from God's love, but God, but Jesus' blood bridges that gap, makes us pure as he is pure. We serve him with our lives then in gratitude for the salvation and forgiveness that he gives to us. We do it by sharing his good news, by using the gifts that he has given us to serve our fellow believers, using our own gifts to serve those in need. The skills and abilities that we have, that we have received, are his gift for the good of those around us, of his people. So imagine, we are in fact praying that God will use us to serve him. We're praying that God will take the abilities that he has given us, use them for his purpose. Perhaps you have a listening ear to sit with someone and listen to their struggle. Perhaps you have a beautiful voice or musical talent to sing God's praise. Perhaps you have ready and deft hands to build and to repair. Perhaps you have wisdom to guide and to lead. Whatever skills God gives you, he can and does use them to serve him and to make ready the way of his son. During this time, it is so easy for us to lose our focus, to become distracted by the busyness of the Christmas season. But whenever it happens, whenever we forget, whenever we get distracted, whenever we lose sight, the Lord remains, stirring us up, calling us back to himself, bringing us the peace that only comes from resting in him and in his word, readying us for his coming, that we might serve him in sharing that good news with those who need to hear and receive it. Not just in December, not just in the busyness of this season, but at all times. Whenever we become lost in the minutiae and need him to reinvigorate us to serve him with our lives, he calls and gathers us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.